With LA Night Jam 2022 just days away, we get to talk to world overall champion and one of the favorite competitors in this event, Sasha Denyerskaya. We talk to her next.
The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all. My name is the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and this is the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. And with LA Night Jam just a few days away from getting underway with some of the world's top women and men's jumpers from across the planet, we get to talk to one of them whose accomplishments in the sport have been many, and she holds the distinction of being the current world overall women's champion. This is Sasha Denyerskaya. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. So, Sasha, a lot has happened since the last time we talked towards the end of last season after the Mastercraft Pro.
Yeah.
And yeah, you remember that conversation. It was very, very lighthearted and focused in upon your achievements with the World Overall Championship. But this year, few months on, a lot has changed, and a lot of it has to do with things that you can't necessarily control.
So I had to switch federations. Kind of got banned from skiing, so a lot of stuff happening, and I mean, it's all due to the war of Russia in Ukraine, and I mean, a lot of stuff happened since March, and like February, March.
So I mean, this all started around about the end of February when Russia has invaded Ukraine. Obviously our hearts and sympathies goes out to all the people that are currently suffering under that deal right now. But I mean, closer to home, I mean, you're originally from Minsk in Belarus. So why did it have, I mean, for those that aren't that well versed on geopolitics, why did that have such a dramatic effect upon you being from Belarus?
So we are right between Russia and Ukraine. So all the troops are kind of staged in Belarus and attacking from the Belarus side. So that's why we are under the ban. And we have the last dictatorship, so our president is not legitimate, and we had the president election 2020 when they got rigged and people were protesting. And
this is Alexander Lukashenko we're talking about.
Absolutely. So and even European Union recognizes that our president is not legitimate, but because he is siding with Russia and like letting them use our country as like
a proxy.
Exactly. So we all get banned.
So the situation was the IOC and all of the world federations that are affiliated with it, including water skiing, by the way. It is a member of the IOC for better or for worse. They recommended that the federations impose a ban upon Belarusian and Russian athletes, but it was only a recommendation. So the IWWF went straight ahead and just went blanket banned for Belarus. And out of all the sports that Belarus excels at, water skiing has to suffer in that vein.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, yeah, we excel, but water skiing is not a big Olympic kind of sport, and like we are pretty small, so we excel, but we have like 5-6 people in the top skiers, but like it's not like we have thousands of people, or like not even thousands, like hundreds of people who are like, I don't think we even known, you know. So
I mean you could say that for water skiing pretty much everywhere.
Exactly.
I mean, Belarus probably in that same packet. But let's go through the whole working process of actually getting you back onto the water and skiing, not necessarily for Belarus, but under a white flag that the IWWF were rather reluctant to make available to you first of all.
So yeah, so this whole ban kind of happened a few days before Mumba Masters. So I was getting ready to compete there, skiing, everything. So the ban happened like 4 or 5 days before the flights, right? So, I mean, yeah, a little bit stressful. And I mean, I understand where they're coming from. Originally, I thought I understood.
Did you get any money back from that flight?
Yeah. Hopefully, God. It got all refunded. So it's not a big, like money and all this stuff. It's not the issue in this kind of thing when you're talking about war and like initial reaction of the people. Because like my mom is Ukrainian. We have a bunch of like relatives stuck in there and like fighting. Like I've been to Ukraine all my life. Like so, money and all the stuff is not the biggest issue. My issue is like how the whole situation was handled with the IWWF. Right. Mm-hmm. So Olympic Committee issues a recommendation of like not letting Belarusians and Russians compete. First, it was the disabled Olympic Games. Right. So first, I believe some of the events had happened and then they like backtracked and completely disqualified. But other federations allowed competitors to ski under the white flag as long as it wasn't the team sport or like. As long as you okay with being not associated with your federation.
It's a bit like the Olympic Games with the Russians, you know. They did like the ROC type deal during the Winter Olympic Games. It's very similar to how that works.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I have been living in the U.S. since 2014, and like I practically ski here all year round. And
so you've established 8 years of residency at least.
Yeah. So going back to Mumba, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as that happened, reached out and asked is there a way to ski under white flag, is there any options to like, because I, as I said, like we have a dictatorship back home and like my family and I were like going to protests and stuff and like the stuff is crazy right now, become like if you have a red hair you can get taken to jail. If you wear like white wristband, you can take him to jail. Like my teammate, like Spak Stepan, he was wearing white and red socks on the podium. We all got like calls and texts like, about like that's not acceptable behavior. Yeah, like all stuff like that. Like when the whole team is not singing national anthem at the European Championships after winning, you know something is going on. Like we openly talk about it, right?
Right.
Other teammates, like we all have like some symbolic stuff and. Like, I posted a Ukrainian flag on my Facebook avatar, and I got texts from home and calls because, like, people actually scared. Like, my parents were scared that, like, they will get fines or they will get, like, some kind of trouble. So,
how does the Belarusian Water Ski Federation how is that dealing with all of this? Are they trying to side with the government, or are they siding with the skiers, or what?
Well, everybody pretty much siding with government because a lot of people depending on it. People are scared. People stay quiet because when you don't really have like other incomes or, I mean, a bunch of my friends been to jail, so it's a normal thing now to get taken to jail for protesting. Like it's scary. And now all the teams, all the like national teams or Olympic committees have a proper position called captain. So if you have something to say against your politicians or like something, you get reported. So it's like Cold War situation. So, I mean, that's how people feel oppressed. That's not proper democracy, right? So like,
No. If
you go to protest, it's not guaranteed that you'll go home or like come back, or like if you come back, if you will like not get beat up or something like that, you know? And people have been still protesting for 2 years. Like,
wow.
And it's
so,
like...
So, I mean, this Russian invasion of Ukraine, I mean, I know enough about geopolitics, but I mean, I'm just trying to appeal to those that are still trying to catch up on this, you know, was barely the tip of the iceberg, because this kind of stuff has been going on, according to you, for at least a couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, there is even, like, a saying that, like, Belarus and Russia, are, like, it's the same TV show we're on the season 5 that on the season 3, you know, like, it's... Same stuff that they just have. Like, it's normal to go on the street and see, like, white vans with, like, all the policemen and stuff, like, SWAT, basically being ready to, like, put down anything, like, stuff. So it's, like, now it sounds weird and, like, but we're used to it now. Like, we kind of went through all these emotions of being scared. Now it's,
you're
like,
used
normal.
To that level of oppression.
Exactly, yeah. So it's almost, like, when I went home for New Year's and, like, I used to go home for like January off season, like it's normal that you don't have internet on Sundays. So people cannot coordinate a protest. Like you don't have internet from like 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. anywhere. Or like, now it sounds crazy, but that's a norm. So now with all the sanctions and stuff that like we have happening against it, and I'm not talking about sport, right? I'm talking about everything.
Just day to day.
Yeah, exactly. So I understand where they're coming from. Like if people stand up and unite and kind of go against their government, something will happen. Well, it possibly could happen if it was real democracy. Like when people have been like raising up and speaking up for 2 years and getting beat up and nothing is changing, and people still going, and but now on top of that they're getting like sanctions and like more pressure. A lot of people who were willing to risk something now just going back and just trying to survive, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the sad part, that like that was initial reaction, and I understand what like why, not even like sports related, why people would like put sanctions on like Russia and Belarus, trying to say like, well, all the people stand up and against your government, but it would work in real democracy, but nobody cares about people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you only have to go back in history like 60, like 70 years, you know, in like Central Europe, you know, to find some kind of parallels. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, and again, Belarus, for people who don't know, like really small country, it's like 9, 10 million people, right? And even if you consider like a big athlete or whatever, your voice is not really heard because it's like really small percentage of people who can like follow you or like make a difference, if that makes sense. A lot of people live to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's no existence, is it really?
Exactly. And I mean, people dealing with oppression and all the stuff. So like when all the ban happened, and like I talked to a bunch of the judges because I try like go to the tournaments and stuff. So they knew what's happening in Belarus, right? So it wasn't like out of nowhere, right? And I know I've been like in the US for a long time, so I was like, well, I'm not siding with like Belarus in this regard. Like I'm okay to like, I don't support Russia in the war. Like it's not my belief, right? So I was asking like, is there a way to like scan their white flag? And organizers of Moomba were willing to like basically run me as a C class and like don't get scores and ranking, just like go compete and like maybe like tell what's happening, be under white flag. Like they said pretty much no, because they're saying they're making a statement and they like they believe that will make a difference, right? So that was the response, and I'm okay with that,
but it was hurting the wrong people, wasn't it?
I'm not even like okay, it's hurting people. It's not nothing compared to the war, right?
Of course.
So my understanding was like, okay, they're trying to make a difference. And we're talking about IWWF. They have Instagram, they have website, they have all the platforms. And there was no single link posted about like, this is how you can donate. This is Ukrainian skiers needing shelter or like staying somewhere at home. Like, you know, when your federation like that represents you, like IWWF, says like, we believe we're going to make a difference. You think like, well, I'm okay with being banned as long as something productive is being done, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if they can donate something. If they, maybe not donate, but like, keep posting, keep sharing links. Like, Danilo Filchenko was doing a great job and still doing an amazing job of like, raising money. Like, Matteo Lazzari was posting, like, raising a lot of money. Like,
yes.
I can do it as publicly because I still have all my family there, and like I am still in process of getting some of like, I have 3 brothers, one got to Japan, I'm trying to bring another brother in. Like, we still were like donating and doing stuff quietly, but like they have a huge platform, right?
Yes.
Have anybody reached to you to like, hey, can we speak? Can we like make something? You know?
Yeah, I had to personally reach out myself to Jose Antonio Perez Briego for his statement on it. And I mean, at the time that I spoke to him, the ban was in place. Now, a few weeks afterwards, then came the opportunity for the white flag
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not like, so I talked to Jose Antonio, like, and other people, and I mean, they call it, in his interview, he said, like, well, if this ban is not against the skiers, right?
Yes.
And there is a protocol in place that if you don't stand with your federation, you can switch. Well, this protocol says that like you have to have a passport, citizenship, or be a resident of other country for 5 years. So how many people can say they have passport or been a resident of other country for 5 years?
You, Hannah, maybe, well, Natalia to a certain extent.
Yeah, but yeah. Like I'm saying, what about all the kids, right?
Yeah, exactly, for the up and comers, yeah.
Exactly, so their parents, most of them, like, going and protesting, right? They're not supporting it. And, like, I understand what's, like, happening and stuff, but past that point, like, if you don't support your government, there is no way out. And I'm okay with being banned if there is, like, some kind of positive change happening. But they only posted about the ban, and I haven't heard anything productive being done, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that the IWW at the time were imposing the ban to try and keep their face with the Olympic Committee, you know, to be
exactly.
In lockstep with them and a bunch of other countries. But there were some other sports, and I explained this to Jose Antonio, that there were, like, the badminton and table tennis and
tennis, yeah, like judo, like some, there is a bunch of, like, more, like F1, all the other, like, so other federations do handle this situation, so they enforce the ban, but they can find a way out of, like, well, how to make it not necessarily fair, but, like, there is some sort of ban in place, but there is a way for people to ski under white flag if they choose to, or, like, if they qualify or something, right? And once when I heard the interview with Jose Antonio, she says, like, well, this ban is not against the skiers, right?
Yeah.
And there is a procedure in place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this procedure doesn't really give a boy out. And, like, I saw some judges and like, I went to Masters and stuff, everybody's, like, saying, like, oh, I'm so happy you can ski. We're so against this ban. Like, I don't know how long it took them to decide to just... It's like cancel culture, you know? Like,
yeah.
Just ban. And, like, they created another problem instead of creating some kind of solution.
Yeah, I mean, it's just putting a Band-Aid on the current situation, I would say.
And, I mean, now that, like, me and Hannah switched, right?
Right.
Then other skiers like Igor, right, left, but they don't even, like, go back and, like, check on the situation. They kind of, nobody even noticed that, I would say, that, like, not a lot of people even know about this ban.
Mm.
So it didn't, like, really make an impact, right?
Yeah.
And, right now, everybody just quiet because it's not inconvenience like anyone else. Because Hannah and I found a way to go and ski, you know?
Okay. All right, let's fast forward a little bit. You mentioned the Masters. I mean, you got your invite to compete in that. Was it just jump, or did you ski in another event as well?
I tricked as well.
You tricked as well. So remind us of how things turned out in that event.
Not really well.
not really well, but I mean, given the situation going in that event and probably not being able to train at, like, full capacity, not knowing what was coming up.
I mean,
you could probably, you know, blame it upon that, but
I mean, it's not about, like, again, life is bigger than skiing, and at the moment I'm mainly dealing with, like, stuff happening at home, because, like, obviously all my family is there, and, like,
mm-hmm.
as I mentioned, like, a lot of my family in Ukraine, and, like, it was emotionally tough, but, like, I still kept skiing. So what happened, Masters mainly on me, like, technical errors and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that the situation between Russia and Ukraine and Belarus, like, Belarus is, like, secluded. We don't have stable enough economy to be self-sufficient, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Russia right now, even with all the sanctions, is, like, the economy is booming, right?
Yeah.
And Belarus got screwed from both ways, because now we're, like, trading with Russia is higher price, and, like, with Europe higher price. So, like, even normal groceries, like, went up, the prices, like, 1.5 times, like, almost 2 times, and, like, that's tough, you know, and there is no job. So you mainly worry about that stuff and not about skiing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people got to live their lives, and unfortunately for the people in Belarus, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
It's really tough. So now, Amina mentioned the Masters. I mean, briefly. I mean, you definitely wanted to skip over.
It's okay. Like I didn't ski well either. I understand.
You could go to masterswaterski.com and find out the full results for yourself. Anyway, but we're now here at LA Night Jam,
yeah.
Just outside Baton Rouge, Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
and. Where the weather is an absolute pea super out here. I mean, it's like 95 degrees. The water's about the same temperature, you know.
If not hotter.
Yeah, so I mean, how have you been able to adjust from where you ski in Winter Gardens, the Arza Lake Hancock, to skiing here, even though you're basically skiing behind the same boat because Taylor was kind enough to bring his boat.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was good. Like, it's a little bit different visual, but we used to ski here a lot when we were, in college because we went to ULM, so we used to drive here and ski here a lot, so I feel like the main issue is just like the hot temperature, but it's going well.
Excellent, yeah, because I mean, I saw you jump her a few minutes ago, and looks like you're getting prepared to send it on on that Louisiana Saturday night, yeah. On the 18th, you know. So I mean, when you do train on another side, is there a particular checklist or mental checklist of things that you go through to try and get the best of the situation that you're currently facing? You know, I mean, kind of give us a sense of what that is step by step.
I mean, Bennett's is like man-made lake, perfect setup, right? So it's all for jumping. So there is nothing crazy, like weird turns or like bumps or rollers. So mainly thing you can think of is like your technical points and just make everything like picture perfect or like whatever you're working on happen. Because like some sides where you go, they can be like different setup. Then you kind of work on like how to handle it. Here you don't have anything. No obstacles, basically. Everything is ready, so just go and jump.
I noticed that Scott Ellis is here.
Yeah.
You've been training with him quite a bit on his site in, what is it, Lake Tennessee out in Auburndale?
I don't know the name of it.
Yeah,
it's Scott's Place.
Yes, everyone calls it Scott's Place. That's how familiar it is with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
But what has his input been like?
I mean, it's huge. He's mainly like, we ski with him a lot. I have been skiing with him since like I went to college. So mainly like mental stuff, technical stuff. It's like small things we work on. So it's not like...
Not like major reconstructive
exactly. Coaching.
It's just
exactly.
like little spots like...
Exactly.
Like where you,
small
where you
thing here, small thing there. Yeah, and just like stay positive. Like that's what went well. Like that's what we can fix and build up.
All right then, and what's Taylor's input been like
a lot. Like, we ski a lot. We don't really like coach each other as much. Like, if anything, we'd like drive each other. Like, I mean, like just ride or video or something. So, no, I mean, it's good. We also kind of work over the same keys or like just.
And speaking about work, I mean, when you're not skiing on the water, what kind of thing do you do so far as an occupation is concerned? I believe it's in the legal field, isn't it?
I mean, I do like coding for a law firm, and then I tutor on the side, and I help with some websites and small projects like that.
Okay, so you keep yourself fairly busy. It would be
it's nice because I can work remotely anytime. Like it's nice, yeah.
Okay. Looking forward to the remainder of the season. We've got this tournament here in Louisiana, you know, and you're probably scared a record tournament over in Little Rock.
The
weekend
it's
after.
It's always fun, yeah.
Okay, but then beyond that, then the amount of tournaments that become available start getting a little bit scarce, don't they?
I mean, again,
at least so far as a pro tournament is concerned.
I mean, the fall is pretty busy. We have like Mastercraft Pro, Malibu Open, California Pro-Am, King of Darkness, so all that tournaments. Unfortunately, I cannot get to Europe because I don't have Schengen visa, and because we're in banned country, like I cannot get anyone, or as of now it's like really difficult because we're on the bottom of the list, so I cannot go to Europe or even go help like
wow
my brother to come and get like his visa. So as of now, my travel kind of plans are limited.
It's just this side of the Atlantic,
pretty much,
and also that extends to the World Games, because unfortunately Belarus
banned,
is banned as well. What's your take on that?
I mean, I see a point of like being banned from Olympic types of comedy because they get a lot of like exposure, and those types of tournaments usually get more funding from government, so they're like government gets something out of it, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So as of like normal pro tournament, government can't really like use it in their records to prove that they like that's the national team or whatever. So it's not such a big deal. So I do see a point of being banned from World Games or like Beach Games or like this type of tournaments. I think it's fine, it's fair, like nothing against it.
All right. So in LA Night Jam, on the 18th, night of the 18th, I mean, assuming that you get out of the elimination round and jump in the final, which we anticipate you yeah. doing. I mean, the list isn't all that long, yeah. but I mean, you should be able to jump at night. You've jumped in King of Darkness,
yes.
you've jumped in a lot of other nighttime events. I mean, what kind of differences are there for you jumping at night? I mean, a lot of people equate it to driving out on the road, lack
yeah.
of depth perception, you know, and things come to you a little
yeah.
bit quicker.
I feel like, yeah, the main thing is like the feeling of the speed, because like it does feel way faster and your depth perception is a little bit different. So, yeah, the main thing will be different is like not panic or like getting in that good spot and like handle it well.
Well, I mean, there should be plenty of lights. I mean, I can see about four or five, six along the spectator bank
yeah.
alone, and I'm sure down
I'm
at the
sure
other.
I'm sure more coming.
there'll be more coming. It's going to be lit up for you.
Yeah.
So, what kind of distance are you looking for? What do you think it's going to take to take you to the top and best the likes of Lauren and Brittany and those others,
yeah.
and Hannah as well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell what the scores will be at night, but I feel like high 70s, like low 80s probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the distance mark, but mainly I'm trying to focus on my technique and like make sure all the technical keys happen first before I focus on the distance, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, because one begets the other. If you don't have the technique, you don't have the distance.
Exactly. Or if you focus on the distance too much, some of the stuff you're working on can go wrong too.
Yeah, indeed. It's kind of like quicksand, you know, you try so hard, and if
yeah.
you try too hard, you sink deeper and deeper and deeper,
exactly.
and you can't get out of the situation.
Exactly. So it only takes one jump. We have three tries, so we'll see.
Very, very philosophical angle on that. And we'll close off the podcast here. I thank Sasha Denyuskaya very, very much indeed. Is there any parting words you would like to express to friends, family, and those that have helped you along the way up to this point?
I mean, the list who helped me is, like, huge. So thanks to everybody. I mean, thank you for having me and letting me say what I feel about all these hard times. And I mean, this whole situation is like very tough for all the people in Ukraine, and I mean, the war is still happening, so like if you can help in some shape or form, like go donate, like go share something. I mean, it doesn't need to be public to count, so there's a bunch of ways to like keep doing positive stuff, so hopefully all of it ends soon, but we'll see.
All right, and that was Sasha Denyuskaya, and this has been the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. More podcasts related to LA Night Jam will be published very, very soon. But until then, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.